Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, along with producer Tom Fairbanks in the control room. I am sitting in for Bill, who's still off in the middle of the Pacific, enjoying Hawaii. He's sharing trip highlights on his Facebook page, so I hope you've had a chance to check out some of his photos. Today is Friday, May 15th, 2015, and we're headed toward a beautiful weekend, maybe a little wet and blustery, but it's going to be a little different. That'll be nice. Bill is here live each weekday from noon to 1 on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. You can get podcasts of all the Buckmaster shows at buckmastershow.com on the web. The Buckmaster Show partners with several local media outlets, including TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, TucsonLifestyle.com, the Green Valley News, and the Sahuarita Sun, all of whom have links to the Buckmaster Show on their homepages. Our Friday Focus interview today is with David Wanger, CEO of Green Valley Hospital. David, welcome.
Thank you. Welcome to you.
Okay. If you'd like to weigh in, you are welcome to join the Buckmaster show by the live line at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. David, Green Valley Hospital, about ready to open. You've got a big weekend ahead and then a real big month. Tell us what's going on. We'll start with tomorrow. You got a big day tomorrow.
Tomorrow we have tours planned for the general community, that is from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Afterwards, we start the major cleanup on Sunday, actually Saturday night and Sunday. We start cleaning things up, terminally cleaning the operating rooms, et cetera, and preparing for a licensure survey on Monday.
So this is your opportunity to see the ER without having to bleed. Is that basically it?
And the operating room without having to have surgery. Yes, absolutely.
You can actually walk in and walk out. So this is a big deal for us tomorrow. I've been getting phone calls at the newspaper about this for weeks and weeks. People want to find out what's inside that building. And so this is a great opportunity for us to do that. So from 9 to 5, give us roughly the location of the hospital, although you can't miss it if you're on I-19.
4455 East Frontage Road in Green Valley. I don't even know the address myself. My car is on program right there. You can't miss it. It's right off the freeway in between Continental and Kanoa.
Right. So just head on south on I-19, get off at Kanoa Road, and then you're basically going to do a U-turn up on the East Frontage Road, and you will see it. And we've been watching it go up for more than a year now. And like I said, real exciting for Green Valley. We have had probably a half dozen over the 50 years of Green Valley's life, half dozen attempts to put a hospital in there. And this is the one that took. When we open, it's a 50-bed hospital. But when we open, what are we going to see?
You're going to see a full-service general acute care hospital, as you said, 50 beds, and that doesn't include 12 beds in the emergency department, but that is 50 beds, and probably close to 17 different medical specialties we'll be opening up with, which I think is the part that excites me almost more than anything, because that's what we've been working on now for about the last 15, 16 months. Sure, the construction, but putting together the integral medical staff, and some of which these specialties were coming to Green Valley in the past, but very hit and miss and sporadic. And now they are contractually bound to cover an emergency department 24/7. And so most of those specialties are taking up some semblance of full-time residence in the Green Valley area, some on campus and some at other places in Green Valley.
So meeting a lot of medical needs, but also some economic needs, because a huge amount of the workforce down there is actually from Green Valley and Sahuarita.
That is absolutely correct. More than I would have first expected. We're closing in. HR tells me now it's close to 85% of the staff is from Green Valley and Sahuarita.
Okay, good. And how many have you hired now? And when you're fully up and running, when you've got all those beds filled and the winter crowds are back, how many do you expect to have employed?
We have about 210 people aboard now, actually about 12 of those people will start next week, but with those, about 212. When we are fully operational and have all the beds open, I'd say we'd have 245 full-time equivalents, which could be as many as 350 to 400 employees. We utilize a lot of per diem, seasonal, and PRN staff.
Okay, let me just get the question out of the way because it comes up to me a lot, and that is when it was being built, a lot of people feared that this is going to be a way station to bigger Tucson hospitals. Is that the case?
No, and if it's one thing that I've been trying to get through as I go on my talks around the community in the last 15 months, it's absolutely not set up to be that way. We should be able to take care of completely 90 to 93% of everything that walks through the hospital or is carried through the hospital doors, and only have to transfer 6 to 7% to Tucson. There's always a certain amount of specialties, tertiary care, things that you would want to be in a trauma center or a higher level hospital for, and we have plenty of those in Tucson close by. But Green Valley should be able to be handled by the specialties that we have brought in now, about 90, almost 93% of everything that walks in. Now, I will say, just qualifying that a little bit, it will take, as in any new organization, it will take us 3 to 6 months to start hitting on all of our cylinders.
Sure.
Most of the physicians that we are bringing in are coming in from the Tucson area. Some are from Phoenix. And not all of them will be staffing full-time around the clock. So initially, there may be a little bit more transfers than we would have we expect ultimately, but perhaps not. It just depends. It just depends how many physician groups can gear up fast enough to bring the appropriate staff down to Green Valley.
So basically, be patient, we'll get there.
Yes.
Okay, so when you open it, it's not like it's going to be, as you say, hitting on all cylinders immediately, but it's going to get there. We are talking with David Wanger, who's the CEO of Green Valley Hospital, which is opening real soon here in just south of Tucson. In fact, David, when is it opening?
If I had to guess, a lot of this is dependent on government organizations and schedules that we're not in control of. But if I had to guess right now, we're talking the end of May sometime.
Okay. So still, again, at this point, getting certifications or people have got to come through and make sure you've done it right is really what it amounts to.
Correct.
Okay. And you've had some of that already, and it's just spending the month just signing off.
Most of what's happened already is the certificate of occupancy, county health inspections. What comes now is the actual Arizona Department of Health Services licensure exam. That'll be about a day to 2 days starting Monday. Then we have Medicare certification a week or two later, and that is coupled with an accreditation survey, and that'll be a three-day visit.
Okay, and how many acres is the actual hospital on, and then how many acres are around that area that potentially could be used to expand in the future? And I know that's not exactly your job, but that could become quite a sizable medical complex down there.
It really can. We control, Jim McDowell controls, the owner of the and developer of the hospital, controls 22 acres, of which the hospital and the medical office buildings sit on about 12 of those acres. So we have about 10 acres, a little under 10 acres to expand on. And then around us, I know they're talking about another 28 acres now, where they are in the process of developing that real estate or putting plans in place, I'm not able to talk about.
Okay, and we should also point out that there's not only the hospital, there are three, what would you call them, medical buildings, outbuildings, office buildings on site?
Three buildings, three medical office buildings totaling 40,000 square feet. And in fact, I happen to mention to Jim McDowell that that's one of the first areas I think he's going to have to really look at. I do believe the hospital is going to have to expand relatively quickly. If we've done our calculations correct, we're a little small for the area. But the medical office building space, I think that's going to take on, and there's going to be more and more specialties wanting to come down to the into the corridor, into the Green Valley area, now that the hospital is here, and I think he's going to need some more medical office building space.
Okay, and three medical office buildings, how many of those are going to actually open up with the hospital later on this month or early June?
Early June we'll have one. They'll all be open by the end of September.
Okay, very good. And then we're going to talk a little bit here after the break about how we're going to get people from Sarita to head on south, because a lot of people in Sarita are used to going north. We're going to take this opportunity to take a break. We're with David Wanger, CEO of Green Valley Hospital. We will be right back.
Party or special event, contact Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona. Here's what our customers are saying about us.
Hi, this is Bert Williams with Williams & Associates. We are Arizona's largest promotional products company. Anything you put a logo on, that's us. But this isn't about me. This is about Arizona Party Rental and the team they have that makes things happen. They have everything you would ever need for a party or any event. Tents, chairs, tables, and the expertise to advise you with what you need in a timely manner. When I think of Arizona Party Rental, I think of integrity and I think of community involvement. We've used Arizona Party Rental many times. They are on time, efficient, and are a great value. I love working with Ken and his team at Arizona Party Rental. Ken can stack BBs at a 45 degree angle with gloves on.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bert. Quality products, exceptional selection, and outstanding service. That's Arizona Party Rental. Visit us online at arizonapartyrental.net.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Monday, Monday, so
That is the Mamas and the Papas. Bill Buckmaster made me choose a 60s band, and I just don't know too many, but I do know them. Good stuff. You are listening to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Sawadita Sun. We're sitting in for Bill. Our guest this first half hour is David Wanger, CEO of Green Valley Hospital, which is going to open up probably late May, maybe early June, still waiting for some certifications and whatever to go through. But there is an open house tomorrow from 9 to 5 down in Green Valley, and people are eager to get in there and see what's going on. David, we've been discussing this probably since you hit the ground over a year ago, and that is, how are you going to convince people in Sawarita, which is definitely a growing area, young families, but these are people who have strong ties to Tucson, how are you going to convince them to head south for health care?
Well, I hope it's not me trying to convince them, but I think these services that the hospital provides, if it's an opportunity or a choice for a mother or a family to, at 2 o'clock in the morning, to head into Tucson for an emergency room visit, or turn around and come 10 minutes south down the freeway, I'm hoping they'll turn south down the freeway simply because of the service standards that we're going to be offering, and I think word will get out quickly. Also, we have the luxury of being a little bit smaller, newer than some of the Tucson facilities. Certainly, the facilities are top-notch, not that anyone else's isn't, but codes have changed, architecture has changed, equipment has changed. Certainly, we would expect, and from the sounds of the emergency department, medical director and nursing director, I don't even think people will be in the waiting room. They're going to be taken right from their car right into a room, and the whole door-to-doc in 30 minutes is going to get blown away here. We're going to do door-to-doc in 3 minutes or 5 minutes and try to really move fast. But to answer your question, I hope throughout the building it's the service standards and the access to the physicians faster than I think they might access it in Tucson, even though they're used to, you know, going to Tucson.
Okay, well, you're right, and it's a small area, and word will get out. We have got Matthew on the line. Matthew, you have a question for David Wanger of Green Valley Hospital.
Yeah, well, first, I just want to congratulate him. I mean, he's been, you know, he said he was going to do it, and they did it. It's amazing to see how they brought this so close to fruition already. David, in the last year and a half, 2 years, since you even started the project, the Tucson landscape has changed dramatically. I mean, overnight almost, it seems like. We have Banner coming in to take over. It has taken over UMC, the only level one hospital in southern Arizona. We have Tenet taking over. I think it's Tenet for Carondelet.
Tenet and Dignity.
We have TMC partnering, apparently, with Mayo Clinic. This changing landscape, was it anything you expected? And do you have any thoughts about the changing landscape of healthcare in southern Arizona?
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Matthew.
Hey, that's a great question, Matthew. When I first got here, no, I did not expect the complete change of landscape that we've seen over the last 4 to 5 months, actually, maybe a little bit longer. I shouldn't be surprised with what's going on in the world, and especially the world of healthcare nationwide. Banner coming in changes a lot of things. Tenant, Dignity, these are national chains. There's a lot of good that I believe they will bring to Tucson. Everything from their contracts, their payer contracts, which are stronger than the contracts that the Tucson providers currently get, and we should benefit from that, and all the providers will benefit from that. I don't think the changes are done yet. I had heard about the Mayo potentially partnering up with TMC. I will tell you that with the exception of Mayo, the others that we've talked about here, Banner, Dignity, Tenant, have all reached out to us, and not in the way that you might think. They are looking to partner. They're looking to share urology services or anesthesia services. They are interested in the corridor, and that only speaks wonderful things about, you know, the corridor. It's going to help us And I don't just talk like that, you know, as the CEO of Green Valley Hospital, I wish we were the only ones, but obviously the more competition in the area, the more services in the area, and we intend on partnering with these organizations, I think the better for the community.
Can you explain to us, David, a little bit about the EB-5 visa program, which is how the hospital was funded, and it is independent, we'll point that out, and how that might affect future partnerships with other hospital groups?
The EB-5 was a funding mechanism that Mr. McDowell used at a time when funding for a standalone de novo organization such as ours was very difficult to get back in 2007, 2008, when the economy got a little sour. Even now, it would be difficult to find financing. But the EB-5, attracting the foreign investment that it did, there are certain requirements. There couldn't be a change of hospital ownership, I believe, for 5 to 6 years, and that's one of the things. But I don't think it would necessarily inhibit other partnerships. And in fact, there's some talk of using EB-5 financing for future plans that might develop around the hospital.
Okay, so under the EB-5 program, then again, you couldn't sell for 5 to 6 years. It couldn't become part of a hospital group, but that doesn't bar partnerships.
It doesn't bar partnerships, no.
Okay, and do you think there's a good chance we'd be seeing some of that?
Hard to say right now. It depends. We are already in the midst of certain partnerships. I have strong relationships with some of the existing Tucson hospitals and talking to Banner now. A hospital that has 400 beds or 500 beds is a level one, can offer a small community hospital many, many services, and we intend on taking care of them or partnering with them if it helps the residents of Green Valley, Sahuarita, and the corridor.
Is community hospital an accurate term then for what we're building in Green Valley?
Yes. Okay. Short-term general acute care hospital that is a community hospital.
And rural hospitals have had a rough go of it, I guess depending on where you are in the country. Why is this one going to make it?
This one's going to make it because you've got an extraordinary CEO. No, I'm only kidding.
Well, we do, but.
the numbers were all done very carefully, and I would like to think that the recipe for success anywhere would be control your expenses and maximize reimbursement, and the rest should flow well. We're not going to build too quickly. We're not going to get out in front of us too far. Yes, we're talking to other organizations. We're talking to about expanding already because that's what the staff and the community want to hear. And we're certainly, we're ready looking in Sahuarita, to be very honest with you. Until the mothership is stable, until the mothership, we know exactly what is going to happen from a reimbursement standpoint. Right now, everything is projections and accountants. I'd like 6 months of data, a year's data, just to see what's going on and, how many transfers we get from the border, how many specialties, we need to still bring in, things like that. I need to get a handle on, but I think the recipe is very simple, control your costs, control the expenses, and maximize the revenue.
Okay, and we're with David Wanger, the CEO of Green Valley Hospital, which opens up later this month or early June. This is not your first hospital opening. Any special challenges down in this area that you either didn't anticipate, surprised you?
Not a surprise, but a challenge, yes. I've never had to build a medical staff from scratch, and when I say that, I've built medical staffs in several other hospitals, but not to the extent that I needed to in Green Valley. If we were going to, and it gets back to an earlier question you asked, if we were going to actually take care of the patients in Green Valley, keep them there, address their needs of not being able to drive or want to drive all the way into Tucson if it wasn't absolutely necessary, then we had to bring in the right medical specialties, and frankly, Green Valley did not have them on a consistent basis.
Okay, real good. We're going to go to the phones then. Jim is joining us. Jim, you got a question for David Wanger.
Yes, I do. Mr. Wanger, first off, I want to thank you so very, very much we're filling the need in the southern portion of our community. That's my district, the LD2, from here all the way to Nogales. And what you've done is an amazing thing. Not only have you filled a medical need for the people of Suarita and Green Valley, but you've also created an employment opportunity for hundreds of people. And for that, I am very, very grateful. I want to ask you about filling that employment. Will you be seeking out employment from the JTEDs who are training for CNAs? Are you looking at Pima Community College nursing program and the UMC nursing programs to make sure that we have the people that do 90% of the work, as opposed to, you know, the big money specialists that you're obviously going to be wanting to come down?
Okay, thanks, Jim.
The answer is absolutely yes. I had to prioritize a few things in order to get us open, but we've already started discussions with several of the schools, and whether it's respiratory, x-ray, ultrasound, nursing, I would expect that we head down that road, and as far as I'm concerned, as long as we can handle the insurance and take care of all the various different administrative things, which shouldn't be a problem, I would expect to have an awful lot of students and reach out to these organizations to help continue to grow the workforce.
Okay, great. And I want to remind people, if you've got about 85% of the employees coming from Green Valley and Saurita, that's meeting a need that I have, as the editor, heard from a lot of people over the years, and that is they want to work in the community in which they live. We are going to go now to Joe on the phones. Joe, you have a question for David Wanger.
Yes, I'm all pleased with this hospital. I have 4 nurses in my family. But with that said, I have a further understanding of the area hospitals. My worry is, due to your proximity to the border, one of the major, major cost overruns for our local hospitals is giving aid to illegal aliens that don't pay. Are you guys prepared for that issue financially?
Okay, Joe, thank you. David, that's a good question.
The answer is yes. Again, a lot of it right now, as I said earlier, is projections. We have projected a certain amount of business that will be illegal aliens or non-paying in the various different payer mixes. What actually transpires remains to be seen. But yes, we know where we are. We're 46 miles or so from the border. Obviously, I've told people we have a vested interest in the viability of Holy Cross Hospital down at the border. They've been doing an amazing job taking care of a certain segment of the population, and we'd like to see that continue, obviously. But the percentages that we've, and I believe they're conservative, projected, we should be fine.
Okay, great stuff. We have been talking to David Wanger, CEO of Green Valley Hospital. The doors will be open soon. There are tours tomorrow from 9 to 5. Thanks for being here, David. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate it.
Okay, after a quick break, we will be back for our Friday roundtable discussion of the week's top issues, and the mamas and the papas are going to take us into the break.
It's hard for you, my baby, because
another business trip
for me, my baby.
Snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient, it can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than 24 Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. The Buckmaster Show, weekdays noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill, and every week we talk about the key issues in our Friday roundtable. Oh, we're watching the screen right now. That Mama Cass, she was a looker. She's pretty awesome. This is a good time to mention that the Buckmaster Show is made possible in part by the generous support of Perfection Auto Works. Mike Emery and his team can take care of all your foreign and domestic automobile needs. Mike offers a free 26-point inspection. Perfection Auto Works at 323-8650 or at perfectionautoworks.com. We are joined in studio by Dylan Smith, publisher and editor of TucsonSentinel.com. Greetings, Dylan.
Hello. Great to be here.
It has been too long since we've seen each other. Looking good.
You know, for a while there, you and I were coinciding on this show frequently. Now it's been a bit. Have we been avoiding each other?
I think they decided it was too much for the Tucson area.
But now that Bill's not here, we can...
yeah, we can do whatever we want, actually. You know, he's on the beach. On the phone, we have Jim Small, who is editor of the Arizona Capital Times. Jim, are you there?
Yes. Good afternoon, Dan and Dylan.
Nice and hot in Phoenix, I hope.
No, raining, actually.
Ah,
raining?
It just stopped raining about 10 minutes ago.
Oh,
that's
oh
crazy.
Boy. Awesome. Okay, well, we are going to talk about some of the key issues from this week. And, Jim, you've got you tell me that the state legislature is sitting on $28 million. What's going on?
Yeah, so something that we just found out, and in fact, we just published a story on it this morning. The legislature obviously did its budget a couple months ago, and there, it included cuts to a number of programs. Most notably, the higher education budget got cut by $99 million. So all three state universities are taking a hit. In particular, $28 million cut to U of A is what they're facing. That is actually the amount of money exactly that the legislature and a couple of agencies under the legislature's control and the governor's office and a handful of other state agencies are sitting on right now. The State House of Representatives has about $7.5 million in its reserve account. The governor's office has about $6.5 million in its reserve account. The Auditor General has $6.7 million sitting in its account. And essentially, the way it works is most government, they get an appropriation. They get, say, $10 million. They have to spend that $10 million. If they only spend $9 million of it at the end of the year, they send that other $1 million back to the state's general fund, except for a handful of agencies. The legislature allows itself and the governor's office and the auditor general and a couple of other agencies to keep that money. Is called a non-lapsing appropriation, which basically means if they only spend $9 million of that $10 million, well, they get to keep that $1 million just like you or I would if we didn't spend all of our salary in a year. We get to keep that in savings and hold on to that for the future. And that's basically what's happened. And these agencies have built up these little nest eggs that they're now sitting on, and that never came up in the discussion of the budget. It's something that, frankly, most lawmakers are completely unaware of.
So what eventually happens to this money?
Well, now that we've written about it, I don't know what's going to happen to it. We'll see. I wouldn't be half surprised to see something happen with it the next time they have to come back and do a budget, whether that's later this year to fix the current budget if something happens to it that requires fixing, or next year. But the reality is that this happens really quietly. This is not something that's talked about. It's, how much money? Basically, the state house has gotten roughly about $1 million more every year than it actually has been spending on staff and maintenance and all the operation stuff. They get about $13.5 million for the past 5 or 6 years. They've only been spending about $12.5 million, and they've been banking that money and building it up, and to the point where right now they're sitting on about $7.5 million, which is exactly why you're seeing some of this fast and loose spending that we've seen out of the state house in terms of dramatic salary increases for staffers and these large scale renovation projects that either have already happened or were proposed and have since been called off.
Right. So this money, the $28 million you're talking about, this is not just this year. This has been accumulated over several years.
Yeah, amongst all these agencies. Been accumulated since 2010. Back in 2010, when the state was really kind of hitting the peak of that financial crisis, after they'd done a lot of the low hanging fruit, the legislature, the budget that the legislature and Governor Brewer agreed to, did require almost all of that, the reserve money, these held over appropriations, to be basically swept into the general fund to help fill the deficit. I think that they left some minor amounts, some small amounts in the legislature, the governor's office, to deal with cost overruns, if, say, all the air conditioners needed to be replaced,
and this is
something like that.
Stuff that's outside of what is normally included in the budget as what would be the rainy day fund, the contingency monies.
Correct. And this is money that's not reflected anywhere in the budget. We had to do some digging and figure out exactly where this money was and who was keeping track of it. And we talked to a number of legislators, elected officials, who said, "I had no idea that we even had this money even existed." Leadership has never told us about it. It never came up with the budget discussions, and I think that's going to change. I think next year, I think there's going to be some serious looking and explaining to do, I think, regarding this money.
Well, good work by the Arizona Capital Times on this story. And then let's shift over to the universities. We have some Republican legislators who aren't happy that they've discovered that ASU and U of A have been lobbying for the DREAM Act, which will affect who gets into the universities at what cost?
Yeah, this was another thing that that one of my colleagues uncovered this week, and that we published last night, actually. The Dream Act has obviously, you know, been controversial. Republicans who are in favor of tougher immigration laws and you know, opposed to amnesty, have for years been fighting against the Dream Act, and you know, come to find out that both ASU and U of A have been spending money and have their lobbyists have been in Congress lobbying to get the Dream Act passed. ASU in particular has been pretty doing a lot of work on it, and the defense bill, the one that just went up yesterday, ASU was supporting and trying to get that amendment get passed, the amendment by Representative Ruben Gallego from Phoenix, that would basically allow Dreamers who've been in the military and who have gone, you know, or gone to a higher education, to gone to 2 years of college, to be able to be on a path towards citizenship. That amendment was stripped off of the bill yesterday on the House floor. But you know, it's something that's not sitting well with some of these Republican lawmakers. You know, especially in light of the fact that they already clearly aren't enamored with the universities, given the major cuts that they've been passing.
Well, I'd like to think that the universities are doing this for altruistic reasons, but the fact is, it's going to help get the enrollment up, and that's important. Do you think that that's why they're doing it?
Oh yeah, yeah. I think at the end of the day, you know, maybe it is altruistic, but it's, you know, it is kind of a business decision, really. You know, I mean, if there's a way to, you know, the path for these students, for these young adults, is in order to go down that road towards citizenship and towards legal status, if that it involves a detour through a college for a couple of years, well, why not make it U of A or ASU? You know,
how far back does this lobbying effort go? I mean, this certainly precedes the recent decision to give what we call Dreamers at this point, although they're not really under the Dream Act, give them in-state tuition, correct?
It does, yeah. This goes back a few years, actually. The lobbying reports aren't specific in terms of how much money is spent on each thing, but we went back, I want to say, 3 or 4 years looking at federal lobbying records and found that both schools had been, ASU in particular, had been very proactive, very engaged on this issue.
Okay, and Dylan, editor of TucsonSentinel.com, your website had a story about PCC graduating its second largest class ever this year, but
there are enrollment's been dropping over the past few years. What we're seeing is, since about 2010, 2011 was sort of a big wave of students moving through the school. So we had three straight years of record graduations for, you know, people getting associate's degrees or certifications in certain disciplines that you can get, you know, with computer science or whatever the course of study that you're taking. You know, we saw some pretty large numbers of folks graduating from Pima Community College. And this year it declined a little bit, and looking at how their enrollment has been dropping at a pretty steady clip of about 10% a year, we're not going to see this level of graduating classes for quite a while.
And we probably saw increased numbers because when there's a bad economy, people enroll to learn new skills or to brush up on something or to head into another field, and now we're kind of coming out of that. However, Pima Community College has had a problem for a while regarding enrollment. Is that right?
Well, you know, things did spike up, especially at the very beginning of the recession, where there were a lot of people who decided, oh, I need to go back to school. I need to brush up on my skills. I, you know, maybe can't find a job and will get myself into college to get some student loans to live off of for a while, which is a reason that some people do it. But at this point, that wave of people has moved through the school. People who are going on to four-year colleges have done that. You know, we've seen the U of A still increasing in enrollment over the past few years.
Right.
And there's also at Pima, there was with the controversies that they've had with the temporary end to the open enrollment policy that they had, that they then rescinded when the folks at the Higher Learning Commission weren't too happy about that. You know, that has made it so that there are some people who are questioning whether they should go there or not.
Okay, good. Jim, there's a study out of ASU that says Arizona could eliminate the state income tax in 6 to 8 years if the general fund growth didn't go above 2.3%, and if revenue growth continued, proponents say it would make us a little more business friendly, and the governor likes the idea. And we should point out that right now there are 7 states that do not have a state income tax, and there are 2 other states that tax only interest and dividend income. So most are not going this route, but do you see any benefits with this, Jim?
Well, you know, certainly I think the governor does like the idea. He said on the campaign trail numerous times that he wants to get the income tax as close to zero as possible. You know, whether it's feasible to remove that tax altogether, if you remove that tax, you're looking at about $4 billion, give or take, of state revenues. We've got a $10 billion budget. So something needs to happen. Either you need to dramatically scale back what the state government pays for, I mean, to the tune of, like, the entire, most of the education funding, for instance, the state's education funding is about $4.8 billion. So just for kind of the perspective on that, and it needs to be replaced by something, whether that would mean a sales tax or a property tax. I don't know. You know, Arizona already has among the highest sales taxes in the country, and that's before you start adding on the county taxes and the municipal taxes and stuff like that. I mean, there's a number of places in the city or in the state where you have sales tax rates approaching 10%, if not a little bit higher. You know, increasing the sales tax rate, I think, would be difficult. I think it's going to be tough to do, especially given the cyclical nature of our economy, especially in Arizona. I mean, we've been working for a number of years to try to really moderate that, so that way we don't have this up and down roller coaster where, you know, the housing market does great and the economy does great, and the housing market goes bad, and so then we tank. And we're trying to find an equilibrium, which involves attracting, you know, larger employers and higher paying jobs. And realistically, those are not the kinds of companies that benefit by getting rid of the individual income tax rate. That would benefit more the people, the regular taxpayers, and the small business owners, the folks who haven't incorporated or who pay their taxes through their business as an individual.
That study is predicated on the state spending about what it's spending now, when we're not, you know, many people would argue, we're not spending enough money on education, that we're, you know, completely underfunding that we're not spending enough on highways and infrastructure. You know, we're not making those sorts of investments.
I think there's a little argument we're not spending enough when it comes to transportation. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody who thinks we are. I mean, we have roads statewide that are going into disrepair. Pima County is already in a crisis mode in terms of its roads, and a lot of that is due to the fact that they're not getting the money that they ought to be getting from the state. Other rural parts of Arizona are facing similar problems. Education, you know, I mean, there was a poll that came out last week that showed that almost two-thirds of voters think that the K-12 system is underfunded. More than half of voters think the university system is underfunded. You know, and the other thing that study doesn't take into account is population growth. You know, I mean, so many of these things that we pay for in the state, whether they are education or health care or prisons, is all determined by population. And so if the population grows, and if we get, you know, another million people that move here, say, in the next 10 or 15 years, well, that means that we're necessarily going to have to be paying more for schools and paying more for health care and probably more for prisons. And so you can't really hold that spending level even between inflation and population growth. I think that it becomes really kind of tough to make that math work out.
Okay, very good. Way too many issues to leave on the table. I want to thank Dylan Smith, publisher and editor of TucsonSentinel.com, and on the phone, Jim Small, editor of Arizona Capital Times. We have Weekend Watch coming up with Matt Russell. He's always got some great ideas about how to spend the weekend. We'll be right back after this quick break.
American Openings is pleased to be a sponsor of Good News Radio Broadcasting, featuring local news and information on AM 1030 KVOI, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ on KGMS 940 AM, positive and encouraging music on 88.1 FM K-Love, and pop classics on KCEE 690 AM. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer, concerned about our community and proud to be a partner with Good News Radio to help make our community a better place.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is now time for Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, food and beverage columnist for Inside Tucson Business and award-winning publicist. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. Coming up over the Memorial Day weekend, it's the 20th Silver City Blues and Bike Festival featuring legendary blues master Taj Mahal. For a complete listing of the many things to do, great places to stay like Casitas de Gila Guest Lodge and the Gila Hot Springs Ranch, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Hello, Matt Russell. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Dan. Always a pleasure listening to you take over Bill's show for the hour. Lots of things to focus on, lots of things to report on. You're doing a great job, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. There is a lot to do out there, and I hate it when we leave stuff on the table and we can't talk about it. But you know what? We're going into the weekend, and it's going to be a special weekend weather-wise and also food-wise. What do we got going?
It is. You know, Dan, given that we just lost iconic blues man B.B. King last night, I say that we all head over to the Hog Pit Smokehouse later today to enjoy two of Mr. King's favorite things, blues and barbecue, in remembrance of one of the greats. I'm sure B.B. would love the Hog Pit slow smoked pork ribs and beef brisket. And tonight, local blues woman Heather Hardy and her band will be performing live from 5:30 to 8:30. Look for the smoke to rise at 6910 East Tancredi Road and enjoy some blues and barbecue tonight at the Hog Pit in honor of the King.
Excellent. I saw this next one on your list, and I actually had to go up on online and look at it. Arizona Bacon Fest. I didn't read that wrong, right?
Yeah. Moving right along.
Yeah.
Pledge allegiance to pork.
All right.
I'll be looking for all my bacon brethren tomorrow night at Keno Stadium, as you said, for the third annual Arizona Bacon Fest. Now, Dan, this is a full-on bacon bonanza, and a multitude of local chefs with an affinity for pork fat will be serving up a range of bacon-inspired dishes from pork belly sliders to bacon ice cream, if you can believe it. Now, some top brewers and distillers are going to be on hand to help wash it all down, and bands are going to be performing well into the night. So it all gets underway tomorrow at 6 p.m., and this is one event that I think is really going to sizzle, man.
Excellent. Oh, that was bad. Okay, let's head east. What do we got now? Little wine.
Yeah, if you fancy a lovely glass of wine over bacon and beer, then I suggest heading out to Wilcox this weekend for the annual Wilcox Wine Country Festival. Now, this is a two-day event at the historic Railroad Park in downtown Wilcox, and you'll have the opportunity to taste from among 70 Arizona wines that will be showcased by 17 of the state's wineries. Of course, some great food is going to be available for purchase, and arts and crafts and other fun stuff. Dan, I love some of the wines coming out of our local wine community, and here's a chance to try them in one setting this weekend out in Wilcox.
Okay, Matt Russell, thank you for helping us set up our weekend. We really appreciate that.
Cheers. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. Monday on the Buckmaster Show, we're going to be talking to somebody from the Tucson Chamber Artist about what does it take to get younger people out to their events. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for year-round residential and commercial water needs. The Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team here at KVOI, including Tom Fairbanks, Ed Alexander, Ray Allen, and Buckmaster Show Executive Assistant Rosemary Brandt, I'm Dan Shear, wishing you a terrific and safe weekend.